Hey everyone, we're back at another episode of the You Need to Know, brought to you by our friends from AgVisor Pro. And boy, things have been boiling over there in the AgVisor Pro app, because there's a lot of questions, and we actually pulled a question fresh that just happened right before we hit record on this, and we just thought, hey, this is perfect to run with. What was that question?
Yeah, this was kind of fits into crop-wise, so that's why we picked it. But here we go. The question is, where do we like to position boron on wheat? I went at heading last year's data files were corrupted. Couldn't draw a good conclusion. Was just reading an article where it was added in the second pass at jointing. Where do the experts weigh in? I have average levels, but know with pushing yields that I will need more.
This is a pretty cool question. So we were talking about this just right before we hit record. How often do you focus on boron in your spring wheat in North Dakota?
Like someone had once said, borons for morons.
So are we the morons?
I think so. Yes, absolutely. I don't think I have ever done anything with wheat and boron. There's just a very few crops that I really look at it. My time in Minnesota, it was alfalfa. That was the big one. I know there's some work done in sugar beets.
I was going to say, close to me, that's where the focus is with boron.
Yeah. Yep. And it's interesting. This question is going to come out of Maryland. So there's probably some different dynamics there than what we're used to using. But a lot of you just have to get into the agronomy of the product, where it's grown, probably what type of wheat you're having. And then there's soil things, and boron's actually unique.
And so I'm going to take a stab at some assumptions here. He did say that he's pushing his wheat yields to the next level. And so when you start doing that, now you have to start fine tuning your approach. This is where micronutrients matter when you're pushing things. So when you've gotten to your NPK, sulfur, and other secondaries, and you've got that taken care of, this is where micronutrients really fit in. And it sounds like this individual here is there. And so it's trying to figure out on these little fine-tuned sides of the micronutrient side of fertility, how do you approach it? And so I'm going to assume that it's also probably soft red winter wheat, and probably not hard red winter wheat. It's probably soft red winter wheat that's out there. And so generally you're looking at over 100 bushel yields there. And so you're trying to figure out, how do I knock this out of the park and go higher yet? And boron being the thing. There's a number of things that come to mind when it comes to what makes boron available and what makes it not available.
Yeah, and it's generally when you look up how does it help you from an agronomic standpoint, it's a strengthen of your pollination tubules at that time. And so if you're in that area where you're trying to push yields, you're going to want to make sure all your spikelets at the top are going to fill, because if you're getting more heads because of your fertility program, and you can get those last 3 to 6 kernels to fill, that's where the push comes from. So that's going to be, and that tells you if the question's getting asked, we're in an area where we're relatively, on average, myself anyway, higher pHs. That'll have some impact too on boron availability. And it also carries it with it as a nutrient and negative charge. Mm-hmm. So you generally don't see much boron deficiencies when it's drier, but you do when it's wetter, because you can actually move it, because that negative soil's negative charge. This is negative charge. Maryland probably has, if you're at 100 bushel, you're probably got the moisture to do it, right?
Right. And I would say in Maryland, with their annual precip, that leaching is a real reality for a lot of the boron they have. So if you have sandier type soils, which I don't know what you have in Maryland, but if it's similar to some of your neighboring states, I would say that you probably do have sandier, older, more leached soils. So my guess is that it leaches relatively easy with higher rainfall, coarser soil types. Mm-hmm. A lot of your boron availability comes from your organic matter. That's where your readily plant available comes from, is through organic matter mineralization. So if you have lower organic matter fields, those would probably be your highest candidates to have a boron deficiency first. That would see the biggest benefit of getting boron versus a high pH field, or excuse me, a high organic matter field. And I don't know what the ranges would be in Maryland for organic matter, but you know, if you're in those 1.5 to let's say 2.5%, then that's probably a bigger candidate for having lower boron levels, especially in that high rainfall environment. And then if you get over 3%, you probably have better chance at better mineralization, get more boron out there.
And we've used boron in many forms. I mean, I've blended fertilizer where you're using it as a granular application that goes on. We've used it in foliar applications. I just remember it's a very dark. You mix it with just anything, it takes over the whole solution color.
Yeah, that boric acid is pretty dark looking stuff. Yeah.
Right. And one of the things you always have to remind people is if you gather a soil test and you're going to, boron's one of those things that pops up, the amount that you use in any starter place situation, it can bring a toxicity level where you're actually hurting, it's detrimental to the germination. So I think of all the micronutrients, probably boron, there's just some things that you have to know and pay attention to to focus on. But personally, I've never done it on wheat. I've heard some people talk about it with canola, but not wheat.
You know, and timing-wise for boron, I would look at that as not a soil applied. And back to your point, Jason, because there's a fine line between boron sufficiency and boron toxicity. Mm-hmm. And it's like once you cross that threshold, and it's not like this big, wide, gray buffer area. It's a sharp line. And you could immediately go boron toxic. And that's going to affect, you know, plant growth and really affect things. So I would focus on foliar applications and know that boron movement only goes upward in the plant. So it's a xylem mobile. So it's only going to move up with plant water being moved through the plant and not going through the full phloem and being redistributed throughout the plant. So wherever a droplet lands, it's going to start traveling outward. And so if I were to think of timing wise, you mentioned heading. I would think because of the comment Jason made earlier, is it's pollen tube formation, the pollen grain tubule growing down, into the ovaries of the developing flowers, the florets on the wheat, that would be the correct timing as well. But how much of that are you actually getting on the plant when it needs it? I think that needs already be in the plant and be mobilized. And so I would think your number one timing to get this in the wheat would be on flag leaf. You get it out when it's in the flag leaf and boot stages, because that flag leaf is your nutrient sink. Mm-hmm. So you can actually measure this through tissue sampling, and you can see where your flag leaf becomes very loaded with nutrition on a tissue sample when you're in that boot flag leaf stage. And as you keep taking flag leaf samples the later into the development, you'll see how that flag leaf starts to suck dry and it starts pulling a lot of the nutrient out of there. And so that's redistributing up into the head. And so to me, that would be the correct timing to make a boron application to affect your pollen tube formulation.
We'll see some stuff too with corn where there is right before pre-tassel or tasseling time frame, there's probably been some people that have used boron that's gone on with a fungicide for a plant health or maintaining the yield potential that's out there. They just think how long that pollination process can be with corn versus wheat. That period is relatively short, and it's very, you know, corn weather dependent, but I've seen wheat that's been done flowering in 3 days. So by putting it on with fungicide, you're probably not going to have the impact. I would agree. You would have to have that on sooner than that. And I know it's not convenient because if you're trying to do a head scab application to go back and put that in, it's easy, but it's probably not going to be that effective.
Right. And I think that would be the proper time for pushing yields, but there may be other times that it's warranted to have maybe more than one pass of boron. Now I'm totally talking out of the realm of my experience, but if you were to kind of add up all the factors that go in there, so if you have lower organic matter, you have more coarse sandy soil types, if you're in Maryland with high rainfall, I also know that you likely put lime on. So it's a high pH situation. And so by liming, you can artificially or temporarily actually inhibit boron uptake in the plant, because what is happening is boron's reacting with lime and you have temporary tie-up. And so if you have all those conditions, especially after a Lyme application, you're likely going to see issues with having enough boron, especially as you're pushing yields. Mm-hmm. And so those are the times to put things on. And if all these little factors, like if you're starting to check off, yep, I don't have very high organic matter. Yep, I get quite a bit of rainfall that time of year. Yep, I've got sandy soils. Yep, I limed. Okay, maybe a flag leaf app isn't enough. So maybe it's putting on a foliar adjointing when it breaks dormancy, and then again a flag leaf to do this. I mean, if you're growing wheat for high yields, you have to be intensively managing it, which sounds like this person asking the question is doing.
Yeah, another cool thing with asking this question through the app is that it'll fall into the lap of someone like us two morons.
Morons talking about boron.
Yep. And we know people. So we know people that have done work with boron in winter wheat in the PNW. And what they have found out is that there's a timing component and there's a formulation component on the product that you're using, and have shared some of those results. So here is a deal where all of a sudden I can probably talk to a certain level of it. I've never used it. So am I an expert? I can get you through some things to think about, I think, as we've done. But we can also connect you with some people that could probably speak to it, and then you could dive down into some details that we probably can't address.
Right. And their situation further west, we've gotten an earful about that from them, and gets me excited about it. They grow those 150 to 170 bushel soft white wheats, soft winter wheats, and they have extremely high pH soil. And so they usually have a general tie-up, and they have all those other factors that usually decrease the availability. And to them, they saw a yield increase no matter the timing. But there were particular timings. We talked about that, where your biggest hits are going to happen. And so do we have personal experience? Not a ton, but we definitely know people that have done this and made it work. And hopefully this is a help. I mean, you just kind of flow through all the things that would make it less available, and when you should really throttle down and make an app.
That was a great question.
And hopefully you're successful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way to ask a question. Yeah. You kind of give three, four different pieces to it, and people have jumped on it, and that's a great
way. And their answers are good too. I mean, they line right up with what we're saying. Yep.
Yeah.
So boron for morons. That's it. You got to know.
Hey, who wouldn't want to raise big time wheat, right? And so this is a great question. It's the dialing down. It's the fine tuning. So that's what caught our attention on the question. You want to be on the you need to know. You just ask those type of questions.
Oh, love it. It's good stuff. So ask away. We will catch you next time. See ya.